the message is done. Jared's testimony on behalf of his family was powerful. And what I see in it is the spiritual truth that we're looking at today from the book of Ephesians. And our series is called Marked. And I thought today what I was going to do was I was going to have a Jiffy marker under your seats because I knew the kids were going to be in the service. And I thought then I could get them to just draw on their parents' arms, right? Jesus loves you. Then everybody would be marked, right? Kids, you can look under your chairs, but I'm going to disappoint you. There aren't any. I couldn't afford that many Jiffy markers. But it's a good idea. If you want to do it when you get home, just ask your parents' permission first and then write on their arm. Not qualifying that in any way. But anyways, some of you have this memory as a child growing up. You would go camping with families. And I would always go, my dad would take a week off a year and we would camp at Cultus Lake where it rained constantly. And I remember we would all get there, the kids would, you know, run around and all of the parents were there setting up these massive tarps. And it was like a competition to see who could have the best tarp. And all the tarps would meet at the fire pit. And that's where we would sit. And one night, we found that all of the parents were down by the beach and all of the kids were sitting around this open flame with sticks. And what you do when you have an open flame and sticks is you get the end of that stick really red hot, right? Right? Or you ask your parents' permission if you can do that. And what we would do late at night when it was dark, we'd get them red hot and then we'd start drawing in the air with our sticks, right? It was a lot of fun. Confession time, anybody? Exactly. And for the most part, it was safe. But my friend Jeff, he was a really excitable kid. Like, you could get him laughing, and he would throw up his dessert. He'd get so excited. We would do that to him. He's an awesome guy. He's a missionary, or he was a missionary down in South Africa. I've lost touch with him. South America, sorry. And Jeff just got so excited, and he just started, like, he had this massive stick. It was red hot, and he just started to swing it around his head. And all of a sudden, I heard a thwack. And then a hiss. And I found that the stick had stuck into my neck, right? And was burning there. I screamed and cried, and we all got in trouble in lectures, and it didn't change our behavior in any way. But I was marked. Hey? The first service didn't get that. But when I got to school the next week, my sixth grade teacher made an offhand comment about how I got that mark in a different way that the whole class laughed at. And I'm not going to use the word because there's children present and I don't want you to have to go home and explain what that is. But I was embarrassed. Do it. He's paying attention. See, having kids in the service is a good thing. And that was the year that I discovered turtlenecks. And I'm not kidding. But I wasn't going to be known based on what one man said. So I hid. And as I was thinking about this, sometimes in my life I have tried to hide that I'm a follower of God. I've forgotten that I am a child of the Creator of the universe. And I hid. But why? You know, fear, insecurity, status, pain. But let me ask a question. If you knew that the Creator of the universe had invited you into a relationship with Him, invited you to be His child, would you hide that? If you were marked by the Creator of the universe as His special possession, would you hide that mark? Wouldn't being marked by Him be a reason to be thankful today? There was a fellow who knew without reservation who he was. His name was Paul. And he wrote, when he wrote the letter that we're looking at today, the letter of Ephesians, he was in prison and he was waiting to be seen by the emperor, and eventually he would be executed. But he was writing to a group of believers who were a mishmash of ethnicities, social groups, and backgrounds. And writing from his prison cell. Well, he was actually under house arrest, but he was a prisoner. Paul wanted to remind followers of Jesus who they were and who they belonged to. And today, it's good for us to be reminded of what and who we are. How followers of Jesus have been marked. And if you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, then today will be a window into the core of what a Christian is. And as we go through this series in Ephesians, how that identity looks being lived out. But let's start with Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 6. It starts with a greeting that we're not going to look at today, and then we'll get into the rest of the text. But it goes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel very blessed that somehow I either, you know, just haven't seen the blessing that's there, or I was skipped out when the blessings were being handed out. But in this passage, we get a glimpse of the things that are true about us in Christ. And through the book of Ephesians, we'll see the phrase in Christ, in him, through him, under Christ, through the whole book. But what are the true things about every follower of Jesus? We are holy and blameless in God's sight. Apart from Jesus, we're objects of God's wrath. And because of our sin, we're enemies of God. There's a barrier between God and me called sin. All of humanity shares in that. It's a spiritual truth. But in Christ, the thing that is true about me is that I'm holy and I'm blameless. In Christ, you are holy and you are blameless. Literally, you are set apart for God, and you're declared innocent of your sin. And because we are declared holy and blameless, instead of being objects of God's wrath, in Christ we're adopted into his family with all the rights of children. And this isn't because of something amazing that I've done or that you've done. It's because of the death and resurrection of Christ. These are the things that in Christ are true about you. And that's just a powerful and encouraging reason to be thankful today, to be thankful every day. And in this section, some of you have noticed there's two other words, chosen and predestined. And we do have to deal with them. Both of those words have the idea that things were destined by God before the creation of the world. It points to the fact that God is sovereign. He's in control. He's over everything. He sees the end from the beginning. And we run into this contradiction in our minds, a battle that goes on. If that's true, if he knows everything that's going to happen, what about my free will? You know, how do we get some harmony to this? And a lot of energy has been put into these two things and caused huge rifts in the church throughout history. Some saying God has planned everything out in minute detail. Others saying that God doesn't know what's going to happen next. But the solution, it's not as simple as choosing one or the other. No one here would say that they're as smart or as insightful as God. No one would say that, you know, we can see the thoughts of God and know exactly what he's going to do in every situation. And it's because God exists on a level that we do not. He is eternal. We are created. But we are created with free will. We do have a right to choose. So how do you bring those two together? And honestly, we can't come up with an answer that doesn't divide people, because we are limited. The Bible teaches clearly that God is sovereign. It also teaches clearly that we have a right to choose. And trying to bring these two things together with logic distorts the truth of both. So both of these truths have to be held for us to appreciate what Paul is saying here. And this is where we come up against our finite minds and an infinite God. And it isn't intellectual suicide to do this. In nature, for example, we have these seemingly contradictory things that help us understand this a bit better. Light acts like energy, and it acts like matter. And science can't explain it. And there's disagreements in the scientific community about what light really is. But there is agreement that light acts like a wave and it acts like a particle. And that's something that science says that can't happen. It doesn't work. And yet we have light. So if that's possible, why not being able to hold these two things in tension, recognizing how limited we are? And Paul's thrust here is the idea that those who give their lives to Christ and follow him, God planned in advance that when they gave their lives to Christ, they would be called holy and blameless and they would be adopted into his family. That's our focus. Let's keep reading. Ephesians 1, 7 to 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. What else is true about me in Christ? Redemption. And redemption is the idea of buying something back in order to set it free. What are we redeemed from in Christ? Our own sin. The fact that we are separated from God. Christ paid the penalty that yours and mine sin deserved. Death, separation from God. He took that on himself to make a way for us to be redeemed, to be bought back so we could be free. And there's nothing we can do about that except to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and confess our sins to him and receive his forgiveness. And when we do that, we enter a new life, a new freedom, saved from the penalty of sin in the past. And the penalty of sin is eternal separation from a loving God. In the present, we're saved from the power of sin, and the Holy Spirit enters us, and we're given a new nature, a new life, and we can live in victory. And we're saved from the presence of sin in the future. One day sin will be removed and we will live in perfect unity and relationship with God. And I so desire that, because I see in myself and in so many people either just physical problems, emotional problems, mental problems. These people all love Jesus. And yet in this life we have a lot of trouble. But one day we will see and we will be changed. And we will take on a new nature that has no sickness and no death, that doesn't go through the struggles that Beth and many others have gone through. And that is something to look forward to, when sin will be removed. And that's the mystery that's talked about here. And there's something that happens in us when we surrender our lives and follow Jesus, something that identifies us for when times reach their fulfillment. In Christ, we are marked by the Holy Spirit. In the rest of the passage up to verse 14, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. In Christ, we are marked by the Holy Spirit. I recently watched the movie Batman versus Superman. Actually, I've watched it a few times, I'll admit it. But Batman uses his mark on criminals to identify them as criminals. He brands them with his little bat symbol thing, gets it red hot, and then he puts it on their skin, and then they're identified as a criminal. They're marked. I was identified by a burning stick as a careless child who thought swinging a red hot poker around was a good idea. I'm not convinced it's not a good idea, but I'm not going to go to the wall on that with any of you. But I have something so much better than that. When we put our hope in Christ, when we believe the message of Jesus, we are marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in our lives as a deposit, guaranteeing what is true for all followers of Jesus. We are God's possession. Why all of this? To bring glory to God. So a step we can take this week, it's a simple step. Well, it's a challenging step sometimes too. Practice thankfulness for what Christ has accomplished. As we progress through this series, there will be other application steps because there's a lot of meat in Ephesians. But for today, this is our step. This week, take the passage and every day just read through it and thank God for what He has accomplished in your life through Christ. And if you're seeking, you're still struggling whether you want to follow Christ or you need more information, just remind yourself, these are some of the things that are promised for those who are in Christ. And ask yourself, am I being called into that life? But for those of you who have said yes to Jesus and know the spiritual truth that you're marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit, and that mark is a guarantee that God is with you in all of the situations in life. And one day when you stand face to face with God, that seal will identify you as His children. And you'll be invited into the inheritance that's been promised to you. All of this because God thought it good to send Jesus to live among us, die for our sin and be raised again from death, paving the way for us to be marked as His children. And that's one of the reasons we celebrate communion, and I want to invite the communion servers up to lead us through this time where we remember what Christ did and why we celebrate this.